Welcome to this edition of Inside the Brand After Dark. This is your host, Dennis Trionos. Inside the Brand After Dark is sponsored by the Trionos Group, innovation in retained executive search and consulting in the marketing arena. On Inside the Brand After Dark, we have the unique opportunity to spend additional time with the guests that appear on our weekly syndicated radio program. Given the 30-minute format, we can really dig in and go quite a bit deeper with our guests on important marketing and leadership questions. Now, let's join the discussion with today's very special guest. Today on Inside the Brand After Dark, I'm joined by Lisa Baird, the Chief Marketing Officer of the U.S. Olympic Committee.
Lisa, welcome to Inside the Brand After Dark.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
Okay. Lisa, you're the Chief Marketing Officer of the U.S. Olympic Committee. Describe for our audience the mission of the U.S. Olympic Committee, if you would.
Well, it's interesting. Only one out of two Americans know that the United States Olympic Committee, which is the primary source of funding for the U.S. Olympic team, is a not-for-profit organization. We're not funded by government spending, and it is up to the marketing officer, which is me, to create the revenue that funds the coaching, training, and competition for the U.S. Olympic team.
Now, as the chief marketing officer, which is obviously a very important job, give us a sense of your responsibilities and the scope of your goals as the chief marketing officer.
Well, the chief marketing officer is a title that covers a wide range of responsibilities that are not-for-profit, at our not-for-profit organization. My first job, of course, is to direct our brand. Our brand is not only the Olympic brand in the United States, but the Team USA brand and the marketing activities to create interest in and knowledge of the Olympic team and the Olympic movement in the United States territory. Even more importantly, my job is to raise the revenue, to sell the sponsorships that fund our team training, and also to direct the media activities. We're most well known for our relationship with NBC and the incredible coverage that they bring to the Olympic Games every 2 years, summer and winter. But in addition to that, we are responsible for working with our national governing bodies to make sure that competitions, events, stories, and our Olympic athletes and our hopefuls are covered between that games. And that's in my area of responsibility.
Lisa, what are you doing in terms of social media?
That's as every CMO will tell you, how to ensure that you're part of the right conversations in social media is every CMO's challenge. It's particularly our challenge because we're calling the London Games, which occur this summer in London, England, the first social games. And there's a vast amount of conversation.
You're officially calling them the social games.
We certainly are, because the amount of conversation, the amount of the ability to direct your brand, to tell your stories, is going to reach a pinnacle with this game. But it's every CMO's challenge, which is how do you want to influence and direct that conversation so that you're getting across the message points? And for us, how are we directing that activity, that commercial activity, so that we can grow the revenue that we use to fund the team?
And what actually is the message?
Well, in our case, it's fairly simple. And that is one of the things that I love about being a mission-driven organization. Our mission is to really help Olympic athletes, Paralympic athletes, achieve sustained competitive excellence. And by that, we mean to really be at the top of the medal count in world championships as well as the Olympic Games. And so everything that we do at the USOC, which is coaching, training, having people at our training centers, funding the national governing bodies that are creating the pipelines, that are training the Michael Phelps and the Lindsey Vonns, that's the heart of what we do. But there's another part of it, which is as we do that, we want to make sure that the way we do that inspires all Americans. We have a saying, which is, it's not about the fact that you win, it's how you win as an Olympic or Paralympic athlete. A story I like to tell is at the Vancouver Winter Games, one of our most celebrated Olympic medalists was Evan Lysacek, who won the men's figure skating. And when he won, he was in the heart of the controversy because of the performance and some of the scoring that happened. Some of the other athletes felt that it was unfair because he didn't have a quadruple. And he transported himself during that controversy and managed every controversial question that the press threw at him, that interviews were at him, with such grace and such great ambassadorship for the U.S. that he really is that type of athlete that we want out, that Americans want to represent their country.
You talk about ambassadorship, and as a sponsor, for example, you're looking for someone who can help you create an ambassadorship to the sponsor, to your brand. Now, you've had an amazing career, NFL, IBM, General Motors, Procter & Gamble. How has your experience in the past helped you to position yourself for what is perhaps the world's most iconic brand, the U.S. Olympics?
You know, I'm glad, you know, the way that I try and do it, and I think the most valuable lesson I've learned from my career on the corporate side is how to always take the view of the customer. You know, there's no doubt in my mind, having gone through, you know, leadership and brand management at Procter & Gamble, certainly at IBM, you know, one of the world's leading IT companies, when you win and when you really do what you do well, it's always when you're protecting the interests of the customer viewpoint. And you see, so there's so many successful examples of that today, in today's environment, about companies or entities that really care about the customer. And I do try and bring that viewpoint, which I think is very unique to our sponsors in the United States Olympic Committee. What can we do to help them achieve their corporate mission? So it's something that I think sets us apart from other sports properties.
Lisa, I'm wondering, you're talking about the customer. You have different customer categories. You have your sponsors, you have the athletes, you have the viewers and spectators. How do you manage and balance the needs of all customers so everyone really gets what they need?
You know, we do have one of the most diverse customer bases in the United States that I know of. I mean, think about it. There's no reason why every American, whether you're a sponsor, whether you are a athlete, whether you are a young child hoping to achieve their Olympic dreams one day, or whether you're a fan, can't be one of our customers. The entire U.S. is our customer base. And what the Olympic movement and the Olympic Games offers is a way for everybody to participate and help that movement. Now, they're different. Some of our customers are B2B companies that target a business-to-business audience, GE, for instance, or Dow primarily, or even Deloitte, one of the new sponsors that we brought on right in front of the Vancouver Games. And I love to talk about that because they use our athletes, our stories, and our property to achieve their business objectives. Deloitte has one of their primary challenges is how do they recruit the best and the brightest out of colleges today? Sure. Recruiting and feeding the Deloitte employee base is a big challenge for them. They take our athletes to colleges with them, and our athletes talk about the mission of being the best in the world, of being able to train and compete at the same time that they're working, that they're, you know, raising families. Our athletes sometimes are like the American fan base themselves. And Deloitte had one of the most interesting programs because they took our athletes with them, and it's become a very successful employee recruitment program for them, something different.
Lisa, as you know, we have a very large listenership of senior-level marketers. So I want to cover a couple of areas that I think are going to be important to these marketers, and hopefully you can give us some insight. Let me start with the fact that Samsung Electronics is one of your key partners. And in October, I know that you joined forces with Samsung to launch what is known as the Genome Project. Can you give us a little sense of what that is and share with us how that's working from a social media point of view?
Absolutely. Samsung, One of the largest and most successful electronics companies today is a global sponsor. So they've been a global sponsor since the Olympics in Seoul, and they have rights that means in every country around the world. So we worked with them to create a very unique marketing activation in the U.S. It's called the Genome Project. And through social media, through the ability to go in, you're going to find out. You can go in, and by just typing in a couple, answering a couple questions, telling the Genome Project a little bit about yourself, you're going to find out how your DNA is connected to the DNA of the Olympic movement in the U.S. So you might find, you know, that, gosh, you know, a coach or a nutritionist or someone who supports the Olympic team that is connected to a Michael Phelps or to, you know, maybe even one of the hometown hopefuls here in Connecticut or in New York City. And it's a really great engagement, a way for Americans to engage and get connected to their genome profile and their Olympic kind of DNA. It's pretty cool.
Well,
it's launching soon.
Talk about Olympic DNA. You know, you're talking to somebody who's 100% Greek here. So,
well, then you've got
really
you've got a lot of
to,
Olympic DNA.
Really resonates to the Olympics.
Well, I hope you're still rooting for Team USA.
I sure am. Although I will say, when the Olympics was in Greece, it was an amazing sense of pride. It's just,
you know, that's one of the things described. That one of our traditions is whenever we talk to constituents, we always ask them to describe their favorite Olympic moment. It's amazing to me that every time I talk to someone, they are able to say it. So if you give me the privilege, what's your favorite Olympic moment?
Oh, my gosh. Yes. I think that as we watch the Olympics, I think the favorite Olympic moment is seeing the players and the athletes come down and actually be with each other. And it makes the world a much smaller place. So if you're going to ask me about the moment, I think it's the experience of watching these athletes be together. My son was a New York State gymnast, and we were immersed in that experience for 8 years. So it's very easy to relate to, you know, the sense of global pride that you have in your teams. And the teams of the world.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up because when we talk about the Olympic movement, which is you know, really kind of a primary mission internationally, there are three elements of it. And it is the excellence that you bring to competition. There's no athlete that I've ever talked to that doesn't want to stand on top of that podium, hear the Star Spangled Banner play, and salute their country. But equally as important, it's about the friendship and the respect that they have. And so if you think about it, they all live in the same village together for the 17 days of the game. They eat in the same restaurant, which we're happy to say is McDonald's and who's renewed with us for another 8 years. And they eat at McDonald's in the restaurant. It's just the pleasure of those friendships that they have that cross competitive instincts and cross cultural boundaries is pretty amazing. What's your favorite Olympic moment?
Oh, I'm leaving it to him.
So the Olympics has always made the world a much smaller place. Right? So when I was a kid, you'd watch the Olympics on television. There was one basic channel. And you had the experience through the television. Right? Today, the experience is fractionalized through many forms of media. How does the Olympic Committee manage that fractionalization for its sponsors, so that you can use it to their advantage?
You know, it's a certain challenge. Like, if you look at it from the way we grew up consuming media, for us it's a challenge, right? Because we look at it as a fractionalization, exactly the way that you described it. Gosh, I've got to go over here and be on TV, and I've got to go over here and be on YouTube, or I've got to be here with Facebook and Twitter and Foursquare, etc. But the next generation of media consumers, but the next generation of Olympic fans, they don't look at that as fractionalization. They look at it as one seamless experience because they're connected to the conversations and the stories and their friends. And that conversation just happens to occur across many different devices and on many different screens. So to you and me, that I will say, I think that TV screen will always be our number one screen, because mm-hmm. that's the way we grew up consuming it. And I will tell you, watching it on NBC, even though I'm at the games, is one of my favorite things to do. But your son, he's looking at it on his Samsung phone. He's engaging it with his friends, and it's not fractionalized to him. It's just what he does.
Good point.
You're probably the best example of the goal of someone who's healthy. And you look at healthcare in the United States, 17.6% of the GDP, about $2.7 trillion. And we know if we had a healthy America, we could improve economy, business, and society. How do you see your role in changing healthcare? Or do you not see yourself as having a role?
Well, I think, you know, we engage on a number of different levels to ensure that we as the Olympic Movement are delivering the right messages and supporting the organizations who maybe have a more primary role in that great mission and great debate. We're proud to work with the White House and with the First Lady, supporting Let's Move, which is one of the most important and one of the most successful initiatives that we have. We've been to the White House. We've been with the First Lady to schools with our athletes to deliver the message, to talk about what it means to be healthy. And on our own way, we're working with our athletes. We're working with the experts we have in training and in nutrition and in sports psychology to create content that we put out at TeamUSA.org and on Facebook to really deliver those right messages. Because not only when you're young, practicing sports safely, making sure that you're doing, you're engaging in sport in the right way is a mission of ours to make sure that that happens, but creating those habits that last a lifetime is really important to helping make a dent in that healthcare challenge you're talking about.
We have about 3 minutes left, and I want to ask two questions about sponsorships, if I may. I was talking, actually, to one of the senior-level marketers at one of your sponsors.
Uh-oh.
And just recently, actually 2 days ago. And this person mentioned the term sponsor hijacking. And what is that all about in terms of where I guess, a sponsor or an advertiser comes in and tries to share a sort of an unofficial sponsorship. Oh.
We call it ambush marketing.
Ambush marketing, okay.
Yeah, and it's a big issue for sports. It's a big issue. What happens, the way it happens is someone who has no official relationship, either with the U.S. Olympic Committee, with the Olympic Games, with a national governing body, will come in and try and create an association basically for free, and they're stealing the goodwill, and basically we call them parasites. And I've been very vocal in the media and in the press, and frankly, recently on Capitol Hill, when we engaged with our Olympic and Paralympic caucus to say we have got to stop this problem, because what happens is if they create an unofficial relationship by paying no money to the Olympic team, by not funding athletes, they're essentially robbing our athletes
exactly.
of their ability to compete. You're hurting the country when you do that. You're hurting these athletes who need this money to do this. And it's something that we're very vocal against, and we want to create with Washington the right awareness among American consumers that says, don't support this company's product.
Having worked in the marketing business forever. As we talk to CMOs and organizations that are brand organizations, CMOs are under increasing scrutiny to make every dollar accountable. Now, when you look at a sponsorship for the U.S. Olympics, I'm sure that subject of accountability comes up. Is a sponsorship really intended to be accountable, or is it intended to be a branding and awareness kind of vehicle?
Well, I think that that's the unique viewpoint that I bring, having spent most of my career at companies where you are asked by your CEO, by the C-suite, to be accountable for what you do. My personal point of view is we should be accountable to the customer's vision for what it's going to require to get their message across, their product sold, or their desire to, you know, align with the Olympic movement and do what they need to do as a good corporate citizen. The key is with the Olympic Committee, with Team USA, those points of accountability are quite varied. Sometimes when I sit across from a CEO of a corporation, they want to align with us because they feel it's their responsibility as a company headquartered in America to support the team. I'm really proud to say that our longest sponsor is the Coca-Cola Company. They've been our sponsor since 1928. And the organization Coca-Cola believes in the movement. They believe in what we're doing. And that's a CEO-level responsibility. Having said that, I deal with the Coca-Cola organization in North America, and I also know it's important to help them do what they need to do to move consumption during the period of games. So we're working actively with our retail, with Coca-Cola and with Procter & Gamble, with Kellogg's, a new sponsor that we just brought on, to create the type of retail programs that excite America and help them sell products. So it's really both.
You've been listening to Inside the Brand After Dark with Lisa Baird, Chief Marketing Officer of the U.S. Olympic Committee. I will be joined by my co-host, Robert Reese. Lisa, thank you very much for being on the show.
It's really been my pleasure.